Jerry Bader Show, 1035. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Just before the news, I started reading a piece in today's Wall Street Journal written by Bob Green, author, CNN commentator, on how things have changed about how America feels about government snooping. And it talks about a movie short where kids are listening on a ham radio during World War II, and a guy comes from the government. And the woman's all excited, tells her son, he's from the government. And what he points out is that short film, Patrolling the Ether, shows that while the technology now available may have advanced exponentially, the unquenchable desire to snoop has been there all along. What may be different, and I want to pick this where I'm picking it up. What may be different, you surmise as you watch the old public service movie, is how Americans are conditioned to regard such government snooping. In the film, young Philip says goodbye to his ham radio friend in South America. Signing off until tomorrow, the government man in the bedroom helps himself to a seat, leans toward the lad, and says, I'm afraid you'll have to write him a letter, Philip. There's to be no more transmitting out of the United States. He explains, he is from the FCC's Radio Intelligence Division, the RID, interestingly, RID. He says, enunciating each letter, he tells the boy, today it's chiefly by radio that the enemies within a country hope to get their stolen information out of it. That's why the RID was born. It's our job to police the ether. This was not fiction. The RID from 1940 to 1946 was a bona fide division of the government operating a network of monitoring stations, direction-finding equipment, and mobile units that rolled through the streets, picking up radio signals and tracking down their locations. Roving RID agents, when they were on foot, carried handheld devices called snifters to more precisely pinpoint the source of communications. Thus, in patrolling the ether, the government man has found his way to Philip's ham radio set. And is the boy alarmed by the unanticipated intrusion? Hardly. He whistles in admiration for what the RID man is doing. The man says, you know, you could help the RID right here at home. Just keep cruising the spectrum. If you hear any strange signals, report them to us. Young Philip, euphoric, cries, oh boy, and hugs his dog. Was the film propaganda? If so, it was being received by a country that seemed more willing to grant leeway to government agencies collecting information. The narrator of the movie, not until NFL Films came along, was an announcer's voice, more deeply authoritative and commanding, intoned, as a result of such foresight, our country maintains the radio detection network second to none in the world. From the secret files of RID headquarters comes a typical case of espionage. What follows is a tale of derring-do in which a Nazi spy ring within U.S. borders is cracked. 4 years has passed since the government man entered Philip's bedroom. Now Philip has become a full-fledged RID man himself, wearing a George Raft pinstripe suit and a fedora, driving the RID van, carrying a gun. He helps bring the enemy agents to justice. Harnessing radio, the Baron of Baritone narrator declares to conclude the film, to help fight the global war. How much has the country and what it will accept in the name of security been transformed since the days of the RID? We're still in the process of finding out, although it's difficult to imagine a mother today bursting into her son's bedroom with a cigarette-puffing stranger in a suit and happily proclaiming, as if the family's just won the lottery, he's from the government. That is just a little hard to imagine. Here's what has changed. And this is reality. One of the things at that period and into the 50s and 60s that split the left and the right was the right would have tended to support that sort of thing. That libertarian stripe that much of the conservative right now carries is relatively new. And one of the things both did agree on in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and particularly, quite frankly, when there's a Democrat in the White House, and I think with good reason, a mistrust of government. Although I would argue that the reality is, with the tools at government's disposal, a healthy distrust is good. Things have changed. people have changed. Now, he doesn't come right out and say it. What I have argued is the NSA monitoring is still important. However, with every, you know, the latest, the cell phone story of in the last week or so, all of us understand surveillance and the need for it. What has changed is the line, not only where it is, but what it looks like. Okay, we understood that they could listen in on ham radio and telephone conversations. What the Snowden leaks have done is illustrate we have no idea what they're capable of. We can only imagine. And some of the things we can't even imagine. That's the problem today. I have cautioned, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think these surveillance programs have saved lives in this country. On the other hand, we can no longer blindly, he's from the government. And so again, exactly where that line is and what it looks like has become, to say the least, very blurry. I want to make my Packer pick here. I wish I could do what I heard someone else do on the radio today, make two picks. The Aaron Rodgers pick and the Matt Flynn pick. Can't do that. I'm still tied with Craig, but I'm running out of time here in our charity bet. The best I can do now is tie Craig. He leads 4-7. Through tiebreakers and everything last week, we tied. We tied. As a result, nothing happened, so he still leads 7-4. There are only three games left. The best I can do is tie, and then he and I are going to, we never considered that possibility. If I actually get lucky and tie him at 7 apiece, he and I will have to discuss whose charity gets what. I don't know what we'll do. Maybe we'll just, I would be okay with us both giving the winning bet amount. We'll figure that out. Assuming I have to worry about it, I'm afraid I'm not going to have to worry about it. I still think it's going to be tough for me to catch him. He has picked the Cowboys by 7. Jason was surprised that he picked them by a mere 7. Jason's taking the Cowboys by 14, 35-21. Do you think whether or not Aaron plays is a bearing on this at all? You don't. Well, yeah, okay, but is that a Matt Flynn pick is what I'm asking. That's a Matt Flynn pick. Well, that's all I'm saying, yeah. Yeah, and I think it is going to be Matt Flynn. Because I think it's going to be a Matt Flynn pick, I, again, because a guy does what he has to do to try to win, I'll take them by 8. I will say, let's see, what's a 28-20 Cowboys. I'll take them by 8. I think it's going to be worse than that. But again, desperate time, desperate measures. I've got to try to pick up a game here on Craig. But I think it's going to be worse than that if it's Matt Flynn. If it's Aaron Rodgers, and I would be rather stunned that if it's Aaron Rodgers. All right. I don't have a lot of time left on this. I want to read this piece, and then we're going to play a piece of sound from my interview with Mike McCarthy, and then we'll get your thoughts. Mike Vandermoss, sports writer for Gannett Media Wisconsin, column posted early today. In fact, when I talked with Mike McCarthy this morning, he hadn't seen this. Here it is. Mystery isn't fair to Packers fans or Aaron Rodgers. When is quarterback Aaron Rodgers going to play again? For the past month, that's the only question anyone truly cares about regarding the Green Bay Packers. Sadly, the Packers organization has done its best to give out as little information as possible about Rodgers' broken collarbone and his playing prospects. The Packers will argue they simply don't know when Rodgers will return. Fair enough, but that still is no excuse for providing vague, sometimes cryptic, and rarely direct information about the injury and healing process. Their reluctance to offer detailed updates on the status of their superstar quarterback is a disservice to Packers fans and Rodgers. In the court of public opinion, Rodgers is taking a beating in some small but growing circles. There have been accusations that Rodgers is soft, and that a tougher quarterback would have returned by now. It's a ridiculous argument given the nature of collarbone injuries, but the Packers and their tight-lipped injury reporting policies are begging any hack with internet access to lob grenades at Rodgers with wild and unsubstantiated theories. Here's a novel concept the Packers should consider: full injury disclosure. What would be the harm in providing specific details about Rodgers' collarbone injury and his recovery progress? Instead of inviting rumors and innuendo, the Packers would control the debate with the facts. Instead, Packers coach Mike McCarthy goes out of his way to be evasive. For example, McCarthy on Wednesday was asked about Rodgers and said, "We'll see how he is tomorrow. We'll set a plan for him again tomorrow." So at his press conference the next day, when asked if Rodgers had been medically cleared, McCarthy said no, he was not evaluated today, Wednesdays and Fridays. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is in the Packers' world, the less information provided about Rodgers' injury, the better. McCarthy could explain specifically why Rodgers hasn't been medically cleared, but chooses to speak in generalities and leave everyone guessing. If McCarthy's afraid to give an opponent a competitive advantage by revealing too much news, maybe he should consider how the 11-2 Seahawks handle injury reports. Earlier this week, Seahawks coach Pete Carroll announced that cornerback Brandon Browner would be out between 4 and 6 weeks with a groin pull. But Carroll didn't stop there. It's not just a pulled muscle, he has tissue damage. Carroll's straightforward comments didn't reveal any high-level secrets, and it would be a stretch to think they will contribute to a Seahawks loss down the road. Most important, Carroll's forthright approach ended any idle speculation about the injury, something McCarthy should consider in Rodgers' case. The cat-and-mouse game McCarthy and Rodgers are playing with the public is almost comical. When asked for details about Rodgers on Thursday, McCarthy replied, "The specific of how he feels and anything he wants to share with his injury, those questions should be for him." So, a few minutes later, in the locker room, Rodgers was asked about the prospect of getting medical clearance, and he replied, "I think you should talk to Mike about that one." That's what you call getting the runaround. Is it any wonder Packers Nation is in a state of confusion? Rodgers isn't doing himself any favors with some of his evasive answers about the injury. When asked if he would be getting a CT scan this week on his collarbone, Rodgers said, "I'm not sure about that." A follow-up questioner asked if a scan was scheduled, to which Rodgers replied, "I don't think we're going to release that, but I'm sure there's people out there who can make up information, or there's a leak out there who will let you know if that's going to take place," and in fact, that happened. ESPN reported that he was getting another scan today. I asked Mike McCarthy about this column. He hadn't seen it, but I gave him the tone of it, and this was his reply.
"The players have the right to discuss what's wrong and what's right with their body. I clearly understand that they are professional athletes, but the, you know, at some point, where is the line? So, I do not feel it is my responsibility to give specifics of exactly what an athlete's injury is, and most people disagree with that. But I know if I was on the field of play, I wouldn't want the guys across from me to know exactly everything that's wrong with me."
All right, we're not going to have a lot of time on this, but 3 minutes from right now, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Is Mike McCarthy right, and it's nobody's business, that one of the best quarterbacks in the game and his impact on the team should report? Are reporters just trying to ask something that's none of their business or the public's business? 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 1049.
Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybatershow.com.